prison and connects them to community-based treatment upon release. Join me on Prison Pipeline to learn more about this innovative program to reduce overdose deaths for women releasing from Coffee Creek. That's Prison Pipeline, October 28th at 6:30 p.m.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Welcome to Labor Radio, the program of, by, and for the working class. I'm your host, Amanda Hill, with my co-host, Jamie Partridge.
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Jamie. We're here tonight with guests from the Burgerville Workers Union and the
Retail Workers for a Democratic Union.
It's a mouthful. Thanks.
It is.
That's Nancy Altermat, Eric Dieter, and Abby Castillo.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome, everyone. First, we're going to talk to the Burgerville Workers Union, and we've got Eric and Abby here with us this evening. The Burgerville Workers Union is the first federally recognized fast food workers union in the nation. Currently, the Burgerville Workers Union has been very busy. They have been on strike over the past week. They've been doing multiple actions. They're in negotiations with the employer to settle a fair contract. Beginning last week, they went on strike at four shops here in the Portland metro area, and they carried out actions on every day. It was a spooky week. So can you tell us a little bit about what the Burgerville Worker Union entails? Is it all of the locations? Is it some of them? Where those are located? And what's next on the horizon?
So we have now five locations of the Burgerville total fleet, if you will, which is 41 locations. That is the Convention Center, the Hawthorne location, 92nd and Powell, Mona Villa, and Gladstone and... I don't remember exactly where it's at, but on Gladstone, out there somewhere.
Yeah.
we are, I mean, that's where we are. Those are the locations.
And what type of work do you typically do at a Burgerville location?
Crew members' jobs are as varied as say, simply a lot and lobby person who is there to clean up after guests in the dining room, to cooks, front counter people, milkshake workers, people who do drive-through window one, window two, prep work, sort of the whole gambit of running a restaurant.
And do you all do everything, or are you assigned particular jobs?
We're scheduled on specific locations within the restaurant. Most of us have training that sort of overlaps that, but not everyone is fully cross-trained.
Okay, I imagine that a lot of your work with the union has to do with safety issues that happen within the locations.
Yeah, for sure. There have been lots of safety issues over the years. I remember hearing stories of workers slipping on the ground and hitting their head, and Burgerville just not taking care of them. And you know, like any fast food place, it has its own range of safety issues. You know, we get burnt on the fryers a lot and the grill, and that's just like part of the normal day-to-day work that we're expected to put up with.
And these are the kinds of things you're negotiating with Burgerville over?
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about the benefits and the wages that you have get at Burgerville, and what are your demands?
So our pay starts at minimum wage. It goes up very little from that. I feel like I know people who've worked there for over a decade who make 13 something. And our minimum wage in Portland is $12. We've asked for a raise. Our initial demand when we started this campaign years ago was a $5 an hour raise. At the time that we asked for that, it would have brought us up to about $15 an hour. And we're just asking for, we're asking for dignity, a living wage, and other protections, like protections for immigrant workers, and other benefits.
So to say a little bit about that, what do you mean by protections for immigrant workers?
Burgerville uses this system
called E-Verify.
It's not E-Verify, but it is a program that works just like E-Verify. And E-Verify checks workers' social security numbers. And when it does that, it checks their immigration status. And if they are not matched, if a worker's undocumented, it gets reported to ICE. So we have demanded that Burgerville stop doing that. I believe we've made some progress on that at the negotiating table.
We have.
So they have the option of using E-Verify or something like E-Verify. And in other words, they could decide not to. And
yeah,
they have decided to do that. So this, you've been in this struggle for several years now. In the first, you have been organizing as a union for at least a year before you even attempted to get a union recognition election. Talk a little bit about some of the struggles. I know that this is a local chain which has about how many shops in the area?
41.
About 40 shops. And you have folks in a number of locations. What kinds of struggles have you been involved with up to this point?
We have been organizing, whether publicly or not, since I believe the spring of 2015. And I don't remember the exact date, but we went public, about 8 or 9 months after that. And then about a year and a half after that, we won our first election. Some of the struggles we've dealt with in that time are union busting measures by Burgerville Corporate, trying to intentionally skew what it is a union does and wants and can provide for its workers in an attempt to reduce interest by its employees in joining the union.
Talk about specific things that they did.
I can speak to
sure,
it a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, you got a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I remember when I joined about like the first year that the union was public, before we did any elections, we were trying to win voluntary recognition. This is a fun thing for people to know about unions, that workers don't need to hold elections to get recognized. Like, employers can voluntarily recognize unions. So for a long time, we were calling on Burgerville to do that, and we were holding pickets. At around this time, Burgerville hired goons to intimidate us. These goons had guns. And I remember walking a picket line. The first picket line I walked, they threw horse poop at us. This was at the Rose Parade. And that was sort of... that was how Burgerville began. That was like the first way they responded to us. And for the only time that they have ever sort of like loosened their harshness is because we have remained organized and fought and shown the whole community what Burgerville is really about.
Tell us a little bit about what the community has meant to you during this campaign.
Yeah, the community has been indispensable. As I'm sure you know, but it always bears repeating, there is a boycott on all Burgervilles until we get a fair contract. And that boycott has been a very crucial part of our campaign and showing to Burgerville that the community supports us. In this most recent 4-day strike that we went on, we also got a lot of support from IWW members from around the Pacific Northwest.
What's the IWW?
The IWW is the larger union that we are a part of. That is the Industrial Workers of the World. It is over a century old. It is a radical labor union that holds as its mission the abolition of capitalism. And so, yeah, Wobblies that's the name that people give to members of the IWW. So we had a wob mob, a big right mob of Wobblies that came in from out of town to walk the picket lines with us. Because as we say, an injury to one is an injury to all.
So tell us a little bit about some of the gains, some of the improvements that you've been able to win without a contract, just through your direct actions, either in the shop or otherwise.
We have been able to get tips not only for the union stores but for every Burgerville in the company, and it's not a small thing getting those. I work at the Convention Center Burgerville, and we average $2 to $2.50 per worker per hour worked on their paycheck. So if you work 40 hours a week, you're making just over $160 extra per paycheck than you would have before. We also were able to establish a policy of holiday pay for some legit holidays and for some not legit holidays, like National Cheeseburger Day. But because we're super busy on that day, you know, and everyone who works at Burgerville knows this, that they're slammed on National Cheeseburger Day, we now get time and a half for every hour we work on that day.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning the two of the holidays on the holiday pay list were holidays that we went on strike, Cheeseburger Day and Labor Day.
Yep.
Right on. So what actions did you actually take this past week? Because you advertised it on social media that it was going to be a full week of action.
Yeah, we went on a four-day strike. That is the principal action. And we had pickets, and we're flyering a lot. So we were doing everything we could to shut the stores down. Because Burgerville, like any boss, really only cares about the bottom line. That's the only way they'll listen to us. Another interesting action that we did was we went to corporate to hold a vigil for the death of Burgerville's conscience. Yeah, and we sang some songs. It's interesting to note that there were some weird people there defending Burgerville, some people that we weren't necessarily expecting. These were fascists, Haley Adams, and other folks. While we were holding our vigil, Joey Gibson also showed up and tried to intimidate us. And this is very important that the Portland community knows, is that white supremacists support Burgerville, are defending Burgerville against their own workers. And Burgerville, on their part, also defends and supports white supremacy. It should be mentioned that recently our coworker, Anthony, was fired for standing up to racist management, a manager who used racial slurs and also had a Confederate flag tattoo, who still works there. And yeah, the Portland community should know that Burgerville corporate stands with white supremacy. Yeah.
I saw online that they were investigating the incident. Have they said anything further about it, Burgerville?
In reference to
anything.
Anthony?
Or
the incident with
Joey Gibson showing up.
We haven't heard anything further
yet. Yeah. So their actions obviously speak louder than their words.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I saw a video of union reps from different unions from Southwest Washington. At corporate, I believe, is that right? That they showed up recently in support of Burgerville workers. Well, you're not familiar with it, okay?
One of the prayer vigils recently, or
yeah, was that a different day than the vigil?
I think so.
It may be.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But there.
Well, thanks, y'all.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So I know that you also ran a campaign earlier in the year around wearing buttons. Was that part of your negotiations, or was that just something that you that came up and you decided to act on it?
So we are an anti-fascist union. A couple years ago, workers various different Burgervilles wore buttons that had various messages. One of them was abolish ICE. Another one said Black Lives Matter, and another one said no one is illegal. We had already won union recognition at this point, and Burgerville decided to unilaterally change the rules to make it so that these buttons were not allowed. Workers at the Montevilla Burgerville decided to go on a strike, and we filed a ULP also because Burgerville is not allowed to make those kind of changes.
Can you tell us what a ULP is?
Yeah, an unfair labor practice, which is a sort of like legal suit filed to the National Labor Relations Board, or the NLRB. And that's just one way that the government is supposed to hold companies accountable. Now, we don't necessarily hold much faith in the ULP system, although this ULP did pass and win. We believe that our power lies in direct action and organization. So workers went on strike, and we held a picket and shut that store down for the day. But that goes to show that Burgerville has a long commitment to white supremacy. They said that these buttons were political, and yet the Confederate flag tattoo that this manager has is supposedly not political. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
So we're running out of time at this for this segment of our show about the Burgerville Workers Union. What are your next steps to achieve your demands, and what can our listeners how can our listeners get involved in supporting you? How can they connect with you?
We just have to keep the pressure on, keep really nailing them at bargaining, you know, organize more pickets, more strike actions, and just keep the pressure building and building. As far as how people can interact with us or connect with us or get involved, boycottburgerville.com is an excellent resource. There's also a Burgerville Workers Union Facebook group. And we also have sort of a perpetually running GoFundMe to help feed our strike campaign.
You're also on Twitter, too.
Strike fund. And we're on Twitter, yes.
I retweet everything.
There's your ID.
You're listening to KBOO.
Portland. If you just turned in.
This is Labor Radio.
And we've been talking with
Eric Dieter and
Abby Castillo.
God.
Of the Burkerville Workers Union. And now we'll turn to Nancy Altermat, of the Retail Workers for a Democratic Union. Nancy is a grocery cashier at the Stadium Fred Meyer and a member of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, UFCW Local 555, which is a union of 25,000 representing primarily grocery workers in Oregon and Southwest Washington. And the Retail Workers for a Democratic Union is a rank-and-file caucus within the UFCW.
Yes.
So, Nancy, tell us about your caucus. How long has it been in existence, and why did you form it?
Well, we started in 2015, been around nearly 5 years. The reason we started is because there was a couple union reps that really, they were really concerned with our struggles and resolved problems. And we really admired them, and they were highly effective, and we wanted to take up where they left off because they're no longer with our union.
Were they fired?
Let's say they were laid off. Yeah.
Ah.
Yes.
So you are a group within the UFCW that's trying to improve your union and more effectively fight management, right, to change your working conditions. So what are the main problems that you're facing at work, and how has the UFCW, your union, been dealing with them?
Well, one of the main issues is maintaining seniority, especially in scheduling. Recently, someone was hired just off the street at a full-time position with excellent hours, working open for 8-hour shifts, and usually it takes 10 to 15 years to get full-time status there, and somebody just getting hired off the street at a full-time position was very demeaning. We also have a 2-tier pay schedule, and women are often getting hired into the second B schedule, which is a lower pay.
Now, this was something that was a big deal during your recent negotiations, with several actions happening throughout the region with the OWL group, which is the Oregon Women's Labor Caucus. Were you involved in any of that? How did that have an effect on the outcome of your bargaining?
Yeah, I wasn't involved with that per se, but I do see that women are getting hired for the lower schedule.
It's still it's continuing then?
As far as I know, it hasn't been a big change. Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit more about the main problems or the issues that are facing your members, and how you hope as a caucus to change the issues that are oppressive at work?
Well, I think it would be nice if the union reps would come around and tell the members of new procedures and also for the store to have better training on new things that that are coming up. That's because they really don't train you. They just say, we're going to do it this way. Have you sign a piece of paper? And now you're supposed to be able to do it.
So you'd like to see the trainings that your store actually does be incorporated into your contract so that you're trained properly?
That would be a stronger contract. Yeah.
Was that
sure.
something that was on the table this time? Or
No, it was not on the table. Also, I think having each location employees elect their own shop stewards for different shifts, because a lot of stores don't even have shop stewards.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking more participation and more democracy.
That's correct.
Yeah. So I notice in your statement of principles, you talk about more transparency and accountability. What do you mean by that?
Well, just to not to surprise us with things. Oh, this is what's going to happen, or without sharing with us first, and maybe it takes a process to get things done, and all of a sudden there's something happened, and
it's more of
we're unaware, and
more of a dump of information as opposed to
dumped right on you. Here it is.
So not very democratic as far
as democracy.
Voting on changes.
That's correct. Exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit about how your board is made up? Are there rank and file members on the board?
Well, some rank and file members are, at least one got in. We ran last election period and got one person in on the board who was a rank and file member. Otherwise, board members are elected. Yes.
So have you been effective in making changes in any of the stores where you have folks active in your Retail Workers for a Democratic Union? First of all, about how many stores do you have folks that are active in your group, if you want to tell us?
Well, we have members that are active all over the city of Portland.
Oh, okay.
And we're right now just compiling our database.
Mm-hmm. So you've run folks for office, and I assume you intend to do that again in the coming election. Have you been able to do any other kinds of actions in the stores or in multiple stores?
Well, what we have been doing is going to the stores in Portland and Vancouver area, and we talk face-to-face with members on the shop floor, and listening to their issues and just letting them know about us. And we want to bring our union family together into one effective body, is what we'd like, yeah.
So bringing them in as an effective body, currently does UFCW hold membership meetings, or are they is it something that happens now or doesn't happen?
They have quarterly meetings and new member meetings. Yeah.
How is information disseminated out to the rank and file members?
From the meetings, you mean? Or from just from
any
the union?
Anything from the union, is it?
Not very often, I'll tell you that. the union rep is supposed to come to your store and inform members. Union reps are hardly ever seen. We have 17 or 18 reps, I believe, and that's to cover the whole state of Oregon and Southwest Washington. So I think they're very busy.
And you have somewhere around 20,000 members in UFCW.
So yeah, almost
5, 5, 5.
Almost 25,000, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you recently had a contract struggle, which close to the end there was a strike authorization vote. There was a boycott of Fred Meyer called for a short period, and then it was a settlement. There was no strike. You are sponsoring a public event that is the Retail Workers for Democratic Union this Wednesday evening, right? At the
That's correct, yes.
Downtown Library, 5:30 p.m. And you'll be discussing this latest contract struggle of grocery workers, and pay equity for women was a key issue, and the union called a boycott, as I said, and members authorized a vote, a strike vote. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be discussing at this meeting on Wednesday?
Sure. We'll be going over the lessons learned by debriefing the people who show up. But we'll be going over the strike authorization vote, boycott, and contract ratification. What did we learn from that? Mm-hmm. And also, moving forward, we want different ways members can get involved. We're going to discuss that and how to take back our union and what is needed to get stronger union contracts. And we just want to get members' input.
What do you mean by take back our union?
Well, have more member involvement is what we would really like to see.
Great.
Do you feel like there was adequate member participation and involvement in the contract negotiations and the ratification process?
Yes, we did have meetings for the votes, and there was quite a lot of turnout during those.
Mm-hmm. And were you able to see the entire settlement, or did they just give you a summary?
We saw summaries.
I see.
We didn't see a full contract or anything, but we saw the summaries of what was going to be the new contract or addition to our current contract.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that can help the public be more informed about the struggles you're going through at Fred Meyer? Or
and Safeway and Albertsons.
And yes, yeah. Exactly. Not just Fred
Meyer. It's all the grocery stores, yeah. Safeway, Fred Meyer, Albertsons. Well, I would like to invite members, especially, to come join us at the public meeting at the Downtown Public Library Wednesday, October 30th. That's from 5:30 to 7:30. And that address is 800 Southwest 10th Avenue. Also, you can contact us. We have a Facebook page, Retail Workers for a Democratic Union. You can message us from there. We also have a website, Retail Workers for a Democratic Union. Email on there, rwduunion@gmail.com.
Perfect.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for our tonight's Labor Radio. You've been listening recently, just now, to Nancy Altermat of the Retail Workers for a Democratic Union.
Does anyone have anything they need to bring up about future actions that we should take part in, or?
As far as BBWU is concerned, it is TBA, to be announced.
To be announced. And
well, I've got to keep the bosses guessing.
Yeah. Well, and I've got to say that you guys have some of the most inventive actions that I've been involved in. They're actually a joy to go to.
Well, you can hear this show, this Labor Radio show, and other shows archived at www.kboo.fm. So if you know somebody who ought to hear this and missed us tonight, tell them to check it out later. And thanks to our engineer, Selena, and stay tuned for Prison Pipeline. Come back next week for more Labor Radio. Good
and,
night.
Let's plug the Jobs with Justice Annual Dinner since we have a minute. We're having the Jobs with Justice Annual Dinner this Saturday, November 2nd, from 6 until 9. We have a fabulous keynote speaker this year, Ricardo Levins Morales. He's a labor artist and has just some spectacular work out there. So you can go to Jobs with Justice website and take a look at the program and buy some tickets or donate some auction goods or anything you want to do there. So keep that in mind. It's going to be a great time.
jwjpdx.org. and it's the annual dinner at the OHSU Life Sciences Building on the South Waterfront.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Homeless people, they're some of the most vulnerable and misunderstood folks in our communities. Season 3 of Local Folks Podcast, Helping the Homeless, is dedicated to telling the story of how a group of local people is working to provide needed services to folks who are experiencing homelessness. Episode 1 introduces the Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center and the people at the center who give and receive help and support. You can find Local Folks at KBOO.FM. Go to audio, podcasts, and click on Local Folks.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Opioid overdose is a leading cause of death for people releasing from prison. A new pilot program at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, Oregon's only women's prison, begins treatment for women diagnosed with opioid use disorder prior to their release from prison and connects them to community-based treatment. My guests are Dr. Elizabeth Needham Wardell, Assistant Professor, OHSU PSU School of Public Health. With me also is Donnell Meyer, Administrator for the Oregon Department of Corrections Behavioral Health Services, and Morgan Nelson, ROAR Mentor and Certified Drug